On Tuesday, that's when we get to welcome to the program as we focus the spotlight on our own Vince Ferrara. And we look to connect with Vince here in mere moments. His appearance brought to you by Waters Equipment. Plenty to discuss with Vince in regards to the Super Regional, the first ever being hosted at Lindsey Nelson Stadium this upcoming weekend, as well as the Regional and how it played out this past weekend. There is only one SEC matchup, and that would be Tennessee and LSU. But there's that to talk about, Tennessee football, Vol Network stuff, all that and more. So we look forward to Vince joining us. And, of course, you can join us by dialing 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. So, Jimmy, we hope to connect with Vince here in mere moments.
Yeah, and one of the things I want to talk to him about is a story from Pete Thamel for talking about a 12-team format leading the way for college football playoff expansion talks. I think that is very interesting.
Yes, I do as well. And we're now joined by Vince Ferrara. Again, his appearance brought to you by Waters Equipment and proud USF Bull, as they're also pretty super this season. Vince, how are you?
I am good. Cinderella has horns in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. Sure does. Had to play that extra game, but they were able to dispatch South Alabama and get the job done. So they're taking on the other UT that's in this field.
That's right, with the wrong color orange, right, John?
Yeah.
Which is not
brown.
Orange, right?
Yeah, brown.
Right. Yeah, I'd be remiss if I didn't slide in a hashtag horns up, which is the USF Twitter thing to do. So... out of nowhere, within a conference tournament, and then as, a four seed, the only four seed left standing, and it was tough with South Alabama that extra game in game seven, but they found a way and separated late, and really cool story. It's nice to have, one of these. You don't want all of the super regionals littered with four seeds because it makes you wonder about the regular season, but it's nice to have a couple, two, three of the non-one seeds kind of mixed in, and USF leads the way as the four seed. It's a really cool story, and happy that they could beat the Florida Gators for all the Tennessee fans.
Tennessee taking on LSU. Tennessee swept the Tigers earlier. They had two walk-off wins during that series. Vince, your thoughts on a rematch between Tennessee and LSU?
Well, Jimmy, it adds to the intensity that's already going to be there with the Super Regionals, with everything that's at stake. Now you have Palmieri's comments that are being resurfaced, rehashed, and discussed. Plus you have the storyline of Tony Vitello and big name programs like LSU that are open, have coaching openings that could be potential suitors to a Tony Vitello. So the Tennessee fans will be in full throat. I mean, they were going to be anyway, but now, Palmieri making those comments and saying that the Tennessee fans are in Trey Morgan's head. I don't know why you would do that, but it's out there and it's only going to intensify. The legends of Lindsey Nelson and everybody else in the stadium is going to let Trey Morgan have it even more intensity, and knowing what Palmieri said about the program not carrying themselves with the class that you would want. So it's going to be – it heightens the venom and the desire to get this done, which is already at high, skyrocketed levels. It adds to it an SEC rival, and so it's just going to be another level of crazy – because LSU is a team. And what stands out as well, and John, you're certainly aware of it as well, and how close these games were, how tight and played on at a high level I thought the series was, with three wins for Tennessee decided by four runs, including, Jimmy, you mentioned the two walk-offs, but the last two games were extra inning wins for Tennessee. So it's just a lot to sink your teeth into with these two SEC teams in Knoxville.
What are your thoughts on Tennessee dealing with this? It's been a long time since the program has played at this level, and certainly none of these players have, in a super regional. It seems to me that the SEC tournament and the regional were not intimidating. The moment wasn't too big for this Tennessee team. Mm-hmm. Would you expect that going into the super regional as well?
I would. And I think those are good experiences to have before this. And should they win the super regional in advance and get those two wins necessary, then it would be ratcheted up to a whole another level in Omaha in the College World Series. And that's a bigger gap that you have to experience in terms of attention and pressure and the atmosphere. And you're out of schedule and all that kind of stuff. Then that's a whole nother level. But this team has checked off so many boxes, have bounced back from so much adversity this year. And even when they stumble, like the first game in Hoover, they have this ability to bounce back so quickly in their DNA that they can make things happen even if it doesn't go in the ideal way. I mean, game one of the regional wasn't ideal going into the ninth, down 3 runs to the 4 seed, but they always believe, they always find a way, and they have tremendous confidence and trust in each other. And I think that's a special quality that they can rise up to those big moments, and they play oftentimes their best in those bigger moments. So the stage of the super regional, I don't think is going to be too much for them at all. And I think they'll be just fine. And I like the way Tennessee sits with it being a super regional with 3 games. I think they can utilize their most trusted arms. They're going to stay with their same lineup. And, I think it will be a good weekend for Tennessee, but I wouldn't be concerned about that, Jimmy, and the stage, because they've checked off so many boxes of things that this program hadn't done in a long time.
To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900, *990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Vince, what do you think it's meant to some of these guys that, first of all, the SEC tournament was the first postseason experience for a number of the key players for Tennessee this year, and now they've got 8 games under their belt. What do you think that it's meant to have the experience they did in Hoover, especially when they opened with a frustrating loss, to do what they did from that point on and then get to a come back home? Because this will be the last go-around for a key number of veterans, potentially, because some have the opportunity to return next year. But they know that this is going to be their last ride in Lindsey Nelson Stadium no matter what.
For sure, and I think those guys have great perspective on where they've been and where they're at right now. Will Heflin talking about trying not to get too emotional when he was walking off the field when he came out of the game in the clinching win over Liberty that he started, and him clapping his hands with his glove back to the fans and the ovation that he got. It's incredible for those really experienced guys to go through the tough times they have and for them to soak in every moment they are and then not let it get to them as well and still be able to perform at a high level. I just think that's such a really neat part of this team, that they have guys with different stories, but are coming together and on a journey, and they realize where they're at, that this group as a collective unit, they won't be together to experience something like this again. So they're making the most of it, but they're not letting it impact their play. And that just tells you about their character. It tells you about the way Tony Vitello manages those things, keeping them loose, but also dialed in at the same time. They connect with him so well, and the entire staff that's been with Tony the entire 4 years. So I do think it's special to see those kind of stories, and the experience can only help them. But like we were just talking about, I think the young guys that hadn't done it before, they can benefit from it clearly. But there's veterans that hadn't really been through much either, and they're, you know, guys that are upperclassmen like a Liam Spence. He hadn't, you know, got the chance to experience it, but the moment wasn't too big for him either, being an older guy. So I think it can help them, but it's still, even though they haven't been on this level, I don't think it's any sort of detriment or hold anybody back.
What do you think about hammering Liam Spence for the fact that he has more home runs in the postseason than he had in the regular season? And it's, but as I said, he likes to make them memorable.
No question. Flair for the dramatic. And, John, I kind of noticed late in the year, I mentioned it a couple of times, that you're starting to see him with some bigger swings, some longer fly balls, and certainly in the regional, especially in that first game, he took a number of balls to the wall and had, a hard line drive to into the outfield as well, and just robbed numerous times. But I think he started to see a little bit more pop in the bat. Maybe that was it warming up. Maybe that's just, you know, situational. But you could kind of see it brewing that he was going to start to leave the yard a little bit more. And he doesn't want to turn into a home run hitter, and I don't think any of these guys really try to. But it's just the contact that they're making. And you know, Liam Spence has pop in that bat. He's athletic, and he's so smart in there as well. And anticipation with some ability can help you hit the ball hard and take it a long way, especially the way the ball has been flying out of Lindsey Nelson Stadium here recently.
To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900, *990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Vince's appearance brought to you by Waters Equipment.
Vince, I want to ask you about the 12-team playoff that seems to be supported by a variety of people. Pete Thamel wrote about it. He said they have talked to the decision-makers in regard to this. They polled 12 university officials or athletic directors or media executives that they favored 12 teams over 8. One of the reasons being that if you go to 8, then you're going to probably have 5 or 6 automatic bids, which means you're only going to have 2 or 3 at-large bids. And so it looked like 12 was the number that they would like. What are your thoughts on jumping not from 4 to 8, but from potentially 4 to 12 in a college football playoff?
Well, the way I've kind of interpreted it is they need a whole heck of a lot, or want a whole heck of a lot more money than just some more money. Because if you expand, that's been part of the biggest draw and head scratcher why they haven't done it is, hey, it's only going to generate more money. And, with the pandemic and last year not being close to the normal, you could tell that a lot of people want to generate some more money out of a well that would provide that. So I think they're just saying, okay, we can make more money with 8. We can make even more money with 12. A big part of that is going to be in inventory. So that's my first thought was, okay, they really don't just want more money. They want a whole heck of a lot more money. And I wouldn't prefer a 12 over an 8. I'd like to see the 8 play out first, but I kind of understand why they would go that direction. And, you know, it would just depend whether you like it or not. I think it just depends on how to do it, because there are different ways that you can format a 12-team playoff for sure.
And one of the thoughts was that they would have the top 4 teams would get a bye, and then the seeds 5-8 would host seeds 9-12. And then when you get past that round, the bowl games would jump in and start hosting these playoff games. Do you think that is a suitable idea?
How does it work that you're adding? And that's another thing that surprised me, is you're adding an extra week, basically. Where does that come from? Where is that pulled from? Are we just pushing back the championship game? Is that how we're making the ability to have these extra games? It sounds like it could potentially be really convoluted. And if you're going from playoff to bowls to playoff, and that could just kind of potentially be messy. And then you're going to be asking college kids to play, even more games that for a few teams that would get to the championship game. So, I mean, it's football and it's the highest level of football as opposed to the lower end with the bowl games and 500 or below 500 teams. So if it's on my TV and we have those games to talk about, I'm not going to complain about it. But certainly it doesn't seem like it would be clean. Now, one thing I will say about that potential format or even expanding the playoffs overall, there's the thought that, hey, you got blowouts with a 14 playoff as it is. What do you think is going to happen when you expand them to have even more teams? And I don't necessarily agree with that. I think there's the possibility that you could have more competitive games with a larger pool of teams, because now you're talking about maybe more evenly matched teams, especially ones that are playing in those first games, as you mentioned, in that format, 5-8 at home, hosting 9-12. You could have some really good games there. And then once you get past that, the survivors, the winners of those games, then would have a game under their belt, perhaps advantage, if you look at it that way, over teams that had a bye. And maybe there's some sort of edge or closing of the gap that can happen there as well. Certainly there could very well be more blowouts still, but I'm not assuming that more teams equals more blowouts. I think you could have more competitiveness, even if there are still a few of those blowouts mixed in. Mm-hmm.
If you want to join the conversation, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. In terms of the scheduling, Vince, I think to me, you were talking about it could be really convoluted as to what gets played and when and where. Do you think that there would be – I don't think any conference is going to revisit having its conference championship game. So you just wonder, how deep into January might it be to get this played out if indeed it were expand to a dozen teams?
Well, I'm with you, John. I don't see any of these conferences giving up their conference tournament or conference championship game, because I think this is all stemmed from wanting to generate more money. I think they're going to give up money from their conference in order to make more money on the back end for everybody else? I don't think so. I think this is about getting a piece of the pie and enhancing the profits and the dollars versus, well, let's do what's best for college football fans. I mean, that's not what's being considered here. So people giving stuff up, like money makers, like conference championship games, I don't see that. I just think the way to get it done is to add it in on the back end. And, yeah, the season will be done later for some. But I think that's more of a realistic possibility of scheduling than those weeks in December where there's a lot of people a lot of schools and students that aren't in session right now with school out. So I'm surprised that they're going that route so quickly or on to 12, but I don't think it's going to – they're not going to take away home dates, I don't think, shorten the regular season. Mm-hmm. Again, take away money for the schools. I just think they just add it to the back end, I would assume.
Yeah, I also wonder exactly what the January 1st bowl schedule would look like. I don't think there's any question they would just kind of factor in playoff games as part of the expanded college football playoff, but you're kind of used to how special those January 1 bowls are. I just wonder if those would also be either they would have earlier rounds of the playoff schedule, or they might have to accelerate exactly if they wanted to still factor as it is now, with those big games being the semifinals as well as perhaps the championship game site.
Yeah, I would imagine, John, if they do want to still sell it as a special day where you're getting the playoffs, that they would still, they would have those in that scenario of the four sort of first round of the playoffs, for lack of a better term, games. I think those would be the ones that you would see on New Year's Day. Who knows, maybe they'd stagger them, two on New Year's Eve, two on New Year's Day. Those used to both be really big bowl games for fans, bowl days for fans. So maybe that's how you sell it. Obviously, you could spread the games out for TV as well. So that would be my best guess. They do two on New Year's Eve, two on New Year's Day, and sell it as this is what the bowls used to be. Now we're doing it with four playoffs, and we're giving you twice the fun and entertainment in football.
To join the conversation, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900.
Vince, your thoughts on Tim Priest stepping down, opening the door for Pat Ryan to be Tennessee's color analyst?
Well, we'll miss Tim. I mean, he's done such a great job with his enthusiasm, intensity in the booth for those 22 years so popular with fans. Is so cool for me to see him and get to know him doing the kickoff call-in show, being out there with the fans for a number of years on the Vol Network, and seeing them interact with fans, and just always just really excited when people would want to ask for his autograph, because he's such a humble guy, always deflecting any credit you might throw his way and talk about records and things like that. He'd always talk about his teammates, and just really enjoyed his delivery and his enthusiasm, but just an even better guy, and we'll certainly miss seeing him and hearing him on the Vol Network. I think Pat Ryan makes a whole lot of sense to slot in there. He has the experience. He's done so much for the Vol Network. He's there on Saturdays anyway. We got a chance to talk to him on Sports 180 earlier today, Heather and I. And you can just tell he thought about it, and he said they went back and forth a little bit when they contacted him. And Pat also said that his wife was more excited about it than he was. So she, who knows if she was ready to get rid of him or what, but I think it's just an understanding of a great opportunity. He loves Tennessee, very popular with fans, and one of the great things about Pat is that even though you know where his heart is and where his rooting interest is he'll tell it like it is, and if something or someone that needs to be called out or criticized, he's going to keep it real. But you still know where his allegiance is and who he's rooting for, and I really respect that. I think that's the best way, rather than especially for a radio listener, if you don't get that real, then you don't really have a full grasp of what is being visualized for you. So you want someone that's going to be truthful to you while still having those orange shaded sunglasses as well. So that balance is one that he does beautifully, and I think he will continue to do it. And Tim had that quality as well. So I think it will be seamless, and he's got really good chemistry with Bob, and maybe Pat Ryan won't make fun of of Bob Kessling as much as Rick Barnes does, but I think there'll be some
no
of that back
could.
And forth between those two. That's right. That's right.
Julio Jones to the Titans. I read an article where out of the Tennessean where that's a suggestion the Titans are serious about making a push to the Super Bowl. Do you think Jones puts the Titans in position to be a Super Bowl contender?
I think it helps them, Jimmy. I wouldn't put them for the Super Bowl. You're talking about hopping the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to go there. Not with the way their defense looks right now. Now, do they address it? Have they changed some things? Are they hoping for, you know, guys to get better, for it to come together this year? Yes, but I, you know, there, you got a new, you know, just, so there's a lot new, especially, you know, with the coordinators. And I still think that defense has more questions to be answered. So that's the difference maker for me. It improves their profile. I think they take a step up. Maybe you add a game, you know, on the win total, perhaps, even though you have to start figuring 17 instead of 16. I like them in the division. I like them over the Colts. I'm still not 100% sold on the absolute of Carson Wentz with the Colts, like some are. I like their roster a lot, and I like Frank Reich. I'm not going to assume, because those two had success in Philly, that that's going to click in Indy. So that is my reservation with the Colts, and that's why I would give the Titans the edge. But they still, to me, are behind Kansas City, and I would put them behind Buffalo. And I think right there with the Cleveland Browns, who also have a very talented roster, but they have some proving to do to me as well in terms of staying mature and taking that next step, even though obviously they've enhanced their roster in the offseason as well.
Yeah, not too shabby for a new offensive coordinator to get to try and organize those puzzle pieces, right, with Brown and Jones and some kid named Derrick Henry.
Yeah, then everybody's just wondering, well, how's – Todd Downing going to handle getting the ball to those guys? Because, you know, the whole topic of taking, okay, do you want to lessen the load on Derrick Henry? I mean, he's around 400 touches in a year. That's a lot. You want to extend his career. You'd want him to wear down, you know, for your playoff push, those things like that. But he's most effective when he's carrying the load. Every year, a greater load. Every year is carries, his yards per carry in his NFL career. Each of those seasons, it has increased. The more he has the rock, the more he produces, and it's by average and everything else. It's not just hidden statistics. So I would think that you got to find a way to throw the ball you know, to those guys and keep them happy while still not drastically changing what you're doing with Derrick Henry. My guess is maybe a touch, a skosh, if you will, in lessening the load of Derrick Henry, but not drastically, because he's a guy that will wear down defenses and get better as he gets more carries in a game. My thing is that you still want, maybe it's Josh Reynolds or, you know, somebody else, but I think they still want another viable third threat, and Reynolds is coming over from the Rams, has produced the most, but I still would like to see them have another third reliable guy in that receiving group, and that's going to make teams pay even more should they choose to try to bracket coverage and, you know, stay on those guys, especially AJ Brown even more. But it does give Todd Downing more toys to play with, and if he doesn't figure out a way to get those guys the rock, if you're seeing Julio Jones or AJ Brown with, you know, two carries and three targets in a game and they lose, you set yourself up for even more criticism because you have those weapons to work with.
It will be something to see. Also wonder, AJ Brown gets to keep his jersey number 11. If they, in a lot of mock-ups, have Julio wearing the number 8. So do you think some Titans fans will just take those old Mariota jerseys and just put tape over them, over the back, name on the back?
Well, 8 was obviously what I thought of, because that was the number at Alabama, so that would make too much sense. But we're talking to Joe Rexroad from The Athletic during Sports 180 today, and he's like, you know, fine. He said most of the, or a lot of the jerseys that you see in the stadium are 8 Mariota jerseys. Like, that's still a lot of what fans are wearing. So you want something that maybe isn't so recent with a very popular player. Who knows where they go for that number? Just kind of glancing through in terms of the single-digit numbers that might be available. I mean, the number one, I guess. Are they restricting the jersey numbers in terms of by position? They're not, right? You can wear whatever you want now, right?
I think so. I think for the most part, it's a wide open.
Okay, so yeah, maybe he just does one versus 11 if the Titans try to encourage him to stay away from Mariota's 8. That would be the most likely one, I would think. And you're not going to press Julio Jones too much because a lot of people have your Mario jersey still or Marcus Mariota jersey still out there. I think he would win that tug of war if he really, really wants to wear 8.
Yeah, and my guess is that Marcus would be A-okay with it. Vince Ferrara, his appearance brought to you by Waters Equipment. Let's go to the phones where Doug joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Doug.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon.
Hey, Doug.
I just want to join in the kudos to Tim Priest. He's a first-class act. I never really knew him. I think I had some clashes with him. He was 2 years younger than I was at UT, but followed his career. Used to play golf with his father-in-law, Earl, down here in Chattanooga, and just join in and wish him the best. Certainly a well-deserved retirement. And I was telling Sam there, he made one of the best quotes I've ever heard in one of Butch Jones's game. He was so exasperated. He said, "Sometimes you just have to overcome your lack of coaching and make a play." And if that's not the synopsis of the Butch Jones era, I don't know what was. But he was a great guy. Hey, I also wanted to say something. My wife is stuck on I-75 northbound in that wreck out there. She's been there 3 hours and has moved about 200 feet.
Goodness gracious.
It is just a horrible mess. And you know what 75 is like? It's bumper to bumper every day of the week anyway. So just listen to the radio warnings, you few people out there, and avoid it at all costs.
Wow, that's just awful. Yep. But
it is.
Doug, sure do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, see you guys. Enjoy the show. Bye.
Sure do appreciate it. Vince, we've made it to the next round of the NBA playoffs, and we have seen the pool of VFLs reduced.
That's right. With Josh Richardson and the Mavericks being eliminated, so you still got Tobias Harris there with the 76ers, and you know he's going to be more important with Philadelphia losing Game 1 to the Hawks, and I don't know if Embiid is 100%, but man, they're going to need a little bit more offense, I think, or him to just initiate some even more. So, it has been whittled down. But I think some of these series are so much fun. To me, the Denver-Phoenix, so much fun last night. I like Phoenix in the series. And if Denver had Jamal Murray, I think that would be different. But they don't. So I like Phoenix there. I like the Hawks against the 76ers. And then, to me, I think Brooklyn and Milwaukee, that was a mismatch, in my opinion, going in. Even before we saw Brooklyn take them behind the woodshed last night, I didn't see a lot of people saying that this was going to be a competitive series. I didn't see it that way. I don't think Milwaukee is as good defensively as they were, and they haven't really addressed their issues that they've had. I'm not as big of a Chris Middleton fan. I don't think he's, on the level of a number two that you would need. So I think that series was over and definitely is over now. And if Milwaukee's going to mark at all, they got to do it in Game 3, because if they go down 3-0, I think it definitely will be over. And then, obviously in the other one that starts tonight with the Jazz and the Clippers, I like the Jazz, but they won't have Mike Conley tonight. So I think that could give the Clippers an opportunity to snag Game 1. And so that's that's a compelling series as well. The one that isn't, to me, is the one that everybody was talking about, and that's Nets Bucks.
Do you think that the Nets can win the NBA title without James Harden?
You know, Jimmy, I have thought that they could not, but now you don't have Lakers. Now everybody else, I think, has some limitations. Like, I would have said no because of what we had thought about or going into the year about a potentially healthy Lakers team. And now they're gone. They weren't healthy, and now they're gone. I don't know who's better than them, even if they don't have James Harden. And a big reason why, and not enough people are talking about it, is because of the supporting cast of the Brooklyn Nets. And you've talked about Joe Smith and Joe Harris, and what a good shooter he is. Yeah, Joe Harris. And they're role players. Now they have Blake Griffin has taken a larger role without Harden. I mean, they have so many role guys that do their job. They've improved enough defensively. They're not a juggernaut defensively, but they've improved enough. And their role players are playing so consistently and hard that I think they could, even without Harden, I would pick them to win the NBA title right now. You know, there are still some good teams, I would. And with all three, forget about it, as we've said a couple times.
That's right, two, three times.
Two times.
How do you think the first year for Josh Richardson in Dallas went?
Pretty good. I think he probably would have anticipated or wanted a little bit, better season or a bigger role on that team. But, he still brought a lot of the intangibles that he did in Philadelphia and with Miami in terms of intensity and defense and shooting the three and playing his role. So I think he did well. I'm sure there's another level. I think that roster might change up next season. So I wonder if maybe that will allow him to have, a little bit bigger role. And he's been a starter for most of the time, but, he was coming off the bench at times as well. He's only 27 years old. Average 12 points per game this year. I still think he feels like he can do more. We'll see what that roster looks like to maybe give him that opportunity to do so. But I think it was solid this year.
Vince, always appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us today, and have a great rest of the week.
All right, you guys do the same. I will see you at the ballpark on Saturday, Mr. Wilkerson.
Yeah, it was weird enough, it being a Sunday night game. Now it's an opener on Saturday. Just crazy.
Yeah.
But look forward to it, Vince.
It's all about TV. You know that.
That's right.
For sure. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Vince Ferrara joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. His appearance brought to you by Waters Equipment.